Andy Farrell, are you watching?
Sport is so thick.
Excuse me.
That's a bit offensive to us because we're Welsh. You could just keep your own opinion to yourself.
The Six Nations on OTB. Subscribe to the OTB Rugby podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Andy, 29-7 to Ireland here against Wales in the first round of the Six Nations. What a flyer to get off to.
Yeah, really impressive half, particularly the first 20 minutes of the first half. It was an excellent start and it almost blew Wales away. Four tries, three converted, one penalty from Sexton. It could have been more. He had a super game when he missed two very easy ones for a kicker of his calibre. But overall, Ireland extremely impressive. Wales obviously under strength and those who played probably a little underwhelming, but I don't think they were allowed to play by that Irish side. So well worth the win and extremely impressive carrying on from a very impressive autumn series too.
Definitely, and it was Bundiaki who got over for the first try. It was a pass from Mack Hansen on his debut.
Yeah, very impressive from Mack Hansen throughout the game. He seems like perhaps one of those players who has the knack of being in the right place at the right time. His first touch in international rugby, a little fortuitous, was a blocked grubber kick from Sexton that landed in Hansen's hands, and he took that opportunity, ran 40 metres upfield, stayed involved in the play, and then gave an assist to Bundiaki after 3 minutes. But Hansen's involvements, as was Bundiaki's involvements, were very, very consistent and they were varied in the game. Both of them were a threat running. Both of them got a lot of involvement in midfield and both of them distributed the ball excellently under pressure. So it gave Ireland that variation in their attack where they could be a carrying threat in midfield, and they also had distributors in midfield and it opened up space for people like Conway, Ringrose, which made us very unpredictable. So certainly Hansen's involvement, Bundiaki's involvement in midfield, not to be underestimated, quite impactful.
And what a story from him, just to mention. 7 months in Ireland, he qualifies to play because of his mom, who is actually born in Cork, came over from Australia to make his Irish debut, to get man of the match. You don't hear this very often.
Certainly not at elite level sport. These type of stories are few and far between. Perhaps 15, 20, 30 years ago. When I gather, Andy Friend, the manager of Connacht, his son, was a drinking buddy of Mack Hansen back in Australia and had observed him playing, shooting the lights out of club rugby, and encouraged his father to take a chance on a guy who was not well known, even down in Australian circles. And the story has built from there rapidly in a 6-7 month period. It's a testament to Andy Farrell too. It's a brave selection. He was initially seen as, I suppose, a squad member and inclusion, certainly by the media. He wasn't predicted to be a starter, but to then get thrown in the deep end in the first and very important Six Nations game shows that Farrell is obviously putting huge emphasis and value on how players are training. And it's become quite apparent in recent days that Hansen's shot the lights out in training too, and they're prepared to take that risk and give him a run. And I think he rewarded them in spades.
Yeah, extremely impressive. And just to talk about Johnny Sexton, there was three penalties in that first half. There was two missed and he converted one. Was it always the right option to go for it?
Oh yeah, I think they're absolutely the right choices. I think Sexton had a superb game. This style of play that Ireland are using is arguably making him play some of his best rugby in an Irish shirt. But I think he'd be the most frustrated or annoyed man in the country with those two missed kicks, kicker of his calibre. They weren't in any way influential on the game, and his kicks from the touchline, first one was outstanding, and he had two kind of fades on the right hand side in the second half that you tend not to see from a kicker, showed huge skill. So I don't think he'll lose any sleep over it. He will be frustrated, but yeah, they were the right choice to opt for the penalties.
And we saw him on the ground, I think, twice. But the second time, it was a reckless challenge from Josh Adams. He got a yellow for it. It was a harsh challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was probably 1 inch, maybe less, half an inch away from a clear red card. Thomas Williams at 9 had put in a speculative chip for Adams to chase through. And as the oval ball can bounce any direction, it bounced right between the path of Sexton and Adams on a collision course. You would have expected Adams to try and go for the ball, but he ignored it by nearly a metre and full on shoulder charged Sexton. half an inch below the chin. It looked like a whiplash effect even for Sexton. The whole crowd here delighted to see him get up and play on from that, and he didn't look too worse for wear. But Adams, it was quite reckless, cynical, and very, very lucky to stay on the field.
And Johnny let him know. He went straight up to him after just to tell him, you know, that was reckless.
Yeah, and I think it was one of those ones when you watched it back on replay, it got worse and worse. Yeah. Different angles, you know, it was people were curling toes here in the stadium looking at it for fear, obviously, of some damage to Sexton. But, yeah, you know, you'd be well within your rights to be nonplussed by a challenge like that. And the likes of Sexton has that fire in him. Yeah, so choice words, no doubt.
And Andrew Conway, he got over for 2 tries. He was impressive today.
Yeah, I think Conway was really a recipient of very good play inside him. Nonetheless, his first try was an incredible finish. Ireland had been so creative in midfield, had held possession, always looked a threat, always looked for space. And then Sexton unleashed this kind of wide, loopy ball. Conway had to come in and almost slide, catch it on one knee. With the cover defence, he had to get off his feet, get off his knees, and with 3 or 4 tacklers around him, managed to just about reach out and get the ball down. But as finishes go for a right winger in international rugby, was superb. Second try, easiest try he's probably ever going to score. He literally just had to catch it and touch it down. But the first one was superb.
And just to speak about Wales, it's not the Wales that we're used to facing, I didn't think anyway. I suppose they are, you know, suffering a lot of injuries, but it was very tough for them today. They got a try in the end, came near the end, but it was a lapse in concentration, really. It was lucky enough to get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Welsh team that's missing 7, you know, highly influential players, some of the greatest players the game's seen, and the likes of Alan Wynne-Jones with 160-odd caps. I think 700 caps amassed between those players missing for Wales. And without doubt, that's had an impact on them. Then again, you look at that Welsh starting back line, littered with talent, littered with experience. Thomas Williams and Bigger at halfback. Liam Williams at fullback, kept really quiet. And a bit of pace like Josh Adams in midfield. So they certainly had ability in the back line. And I would have thought they had... a pack that, while not being as well known, were hopeful to be more competitive. But that pack were crushed by the Irish pack in the first 20-30 minutes. And that was ultimately the decider in the game. I think the Welsh will come away bruised, battered, but I don't think they're as poor a side as they looked. I think it was more Irish quality play, particularly up front in that first 30.
And what impressed you most, if you could say, from the November series, what we've seen them do against the All Blacks to now, what impressed you most from Ireland?
So many things. I mean, if you look at, you can see Paul O'Connell in that team in terms of the accuracy in the line-out. We had 100% line-out success in a Six Nations International's top drawer. Yeah. You can see John Fogarty and how well we're scrummaging, very, very stable. You can see Mike Catt in the creativity in midfield. You can see wingers like Hansen and a centre like Bundiaki being used in a very, very different way, not always as the battering ram. You can see Simon Easterby in their defence. You know, so what impresses me is that from all sides of their game, they're performing at a very high level. And then in particular, if we were to focus on attack, this use of... I suppose a triangle, for want of a better word. We're seeing very, very often 2 or 3 Irish forwards catching the ball near to the breakdown and having 2 or 3 options, invariably choosing the right one. Sometimes they're hitting the first runner, sometimes they're hitting the second runner, sometimes they're hitting a guy out the back, sometimes they're going themselves when they catch it. And it's done so well to such a high degree of accuracy under pressure that it makes us very hard to defend. I don't think it's a case of poor defence from Wales. I think it's really high quality attack from Ireland, and all in all, I mean, variation across the game, input from different expertise, you know, a very healthy injury profile at the moment, but that play in attack, that kind of triangle formation and attack that we've used so well to such great effect, has been one of the most impressive parts we've seen in the likes of Phil Jackson, legendary coaches, using a triangle system in attack where you've got 3, 6, 9 options at a time. We've seen Johan Cruyff do it with football teams, triangles in attack. Now we're seeing it being used to great effect in a rugby setting, and it's really refreshing, really creative, and overall difficult to mark as well and difficult to predict. So it doesn't mean we're going to be closed down too easily in the next few games.
Yeah, I think Ireland is really finding its style, and that's very evident out there today. Gary Ringrose got in for Ireland's fourth try. I thought it was the best try of the day. Don't know what you thought, Andy.
Yeah, really exciting. Again, it was it came from Mac Hansen and Bundy Aki getting the ball in midfield. Certainly Hansen getting involved coming off his wing. It's always really good to see wingers coming in into midfield. They provide an extra man and an overlap, but then also the ability to catch and pass under pressure with a rush tackler coming at you. Mac Hansen gave it to Bundy Aki, who did the exact same and set Ringrose free. Ringrose showed the kind of pace that perhaps we thought he didn't have two or three, four seasons ago, where he could scorch up the outside, but he did. There was a question mark, I think, on everyone's lips. Was he going to use Andrew Conway for a potential hat-trick? He went himself, and I think it was ultimately the right choice. He just got outside that cover defence for a brilliant finish. Exciting finish. Great to see Ringrose getting on the score sheet as well. I think he's been underrated and underestimated in his contribution in recent games. His All Blacks performance in November was so workmanlike and so effective, but it's nice to see him do the flash stuff too.
And on the Irish bench, it was great to see so many come on. We've seen Peter O'Mahony, James Hume, Dan Sheehan. Brilliant to see all them getting a run, because it really pushes on to have a lot of options going into this France game.
Absolutely. And again, I think O'Mahony has a new lease of life in this squad as an impact player. He's come on and consistently been a thorn in the side of oppositions with 15, 20 to go. He's a great line-out option. He's very, very competitive for ball on the ground. And that 15, 20-minute period, that experience coming in, it's added huge value to the Irish team every time he's come off the bench. Really exciting to see James Hume get a chance in an Irish jersey. He's been very impressive in Ulster. He's not your typical modern-day centre. He looks like a slightly more slight footballing type of centre, which again falls into the positives that we're seeing in this Irish attack. Augurs well. Dan Sheehan's a very like-for-like replacement for Kelleher. One or two areas that we may be concerned with. Keane Healy's obviously a great replacement for Porter, like-for-like. Not so sure on... you're not really going to replace Tyke Furlong with a like-for-like player. He's a kind of standout, best in the world in his position. We'll be hopeful Finlay Beelam can hold his own. I'm certain the likes of England and France are going to attack him if they get a chance. But hopefully he can manage that.
And looking ahead to France now, they go to Paris next weekend. Did this game set them up for, I suppose, to get them ready for this challenge? Because this really is going to be a much bigger test.
Yeah, I think it's almost a key game already at a championship. Without looking ahead of ourselves, if we can go over and get a result against one of the best French sides of the last 10 years, it would be a huge marker. I don't think the bookies are going to back us, and I think that's probably right based on French form. But I think this Irish team are going to go damn close over there next week.
First game, I'm going to ask you, who's going to win the Six Nations, Andy?
I said it, Joe Malloy asked me last week, and I did go for Ireland, so I'm going to stick with it for now. Nothing in that performance is telling me otherwise. I'm not sure we can win in France, but I think France may slip up elsewhere. Perhaps one of their away games, and I think we may squeak it by.
Brilliant, Andy. Thank you.
Thanks, Ashley.